Good morning. It's a privilege to be able to open God's Word again with you this morning. And we started last week with talking about presence that persists. And Max shared a wonderful message on the present of covenant community. And so today we're going to look at God's Word again and see another present that persists that's available for us as well. Now, one of the things that you may not know about Heather and me is that we love to listen to radio dramas. That's something that Heather grew up with, and it's something we've enjoyed doing together as a married couple and now enjoy doing with our kids as well. We love listening to radio dramas, whether it's old ones from the 1950s or even more modern and current ones. And it's amazing what you can learn through some of these dramas, even ones that are meant for entertainment purposes only. And I'd like to share a story from one of them. This is from Adventures in Odyssey. Any of you familiar with that one, the Focus on the Family one? Oh, we love listening to those with our kids. And this is a story that I heard there that surprised me and may surprise you as well. Now, this story is a true story about a person that I'm guessing probably everybody in this room has heard about and knows, but you may not know the whole story. In many respects, this man's life was a failure. He dropped out of school because he hated to study. He tried being a soldier, but couldn't get his men to march right. He went into business, and he did just about as well there as he did at being a soldier. And then of all things, he decided to go into politics. And he proceeded to lose election after election. Now, he did win one very important election, but that's only because the other person was in much worse shape than he was. And yet, for all his failures, he ended up becoming very famous and doing some very important things with his life. So who is this person? Well, I'll tell you more about him later. Some of you may have some guesses already. I'll try and hold you in suspense if you don't know. But for this man, clearly he struggled at times in his life. Clearly, success was not always something that came naturally. And there are times in our lives as well when we fail, when we fall short. There are times when it can be easy to feel like everything we're doing is futile, like everything we've done has been for nothing. When we've given our all to the company, and yet once again our boss passes over us for that next promotion. Or when we've tried to budget meticulously, we're trying to save and set money aside, and yet for some reason it seems that the car repairs and the home improvements and the medical bills continue to pile up, and what we thought we were setting aside now seems to be squandered. Or when we pour our lives into our kids, when we try to do everything the right way, and yet somehow they go off another way and do their own thing and aren't walking with the Lord, aren't living the way we had hoped we had raised them. And it's easy to feel this feeling of futility in church and in ministry as well, where we feel like everything we're doing is never enough. We begin to play the comparison game, that dangerous game of, oh, well, you look at what such and such a person is doing or such and such a church is doing, and it just never seems to be enough. And we go through seasons where there are no conversions, where the tangible results that we can quantify just aren't there. And in those seasons, it's easy to doubt and to ask the question, God, is it even worth it? And in the midst of this, it's easy for us to lose sight of God's calling and purpose on our lives. And so the question today is, how do we respond when we experience these feelings of frustration and failure? How should we live? What should our attitude be? How do we respond when we face these feelings of futility? And to look at this today, I'd like to turn to a passage in the book of Isaiah. So would you turn there with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. And as we look at Isaiah 49 today, we're going to see a present that persists that can help us overcome those feelings of failure and futility. So let's look at God's Word together this morning. And before we dive into it, let me just give you a quick backdrop of the book of Isaiah in case you haven't been there recently. I know I always like having a refresher there. The book of Isaiah, some people have called it a miniature Bible. Because the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, much like the Bible has 66 books. And in the same way, the book of Isaiah is divided into two main sections. The first section in the first 39 chapters has to do with how God's glory and holiness would be made known through his judgment of sin. Now, I said 39 chapters. How many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. So you can see kind of the similarities there. And then in the second half of Isaiah, in chapters 40 through 66, we talks about God's deliverance and the blessing of a righteous remnant. And so it's more focused on grace and salvation that God gives. And so there's two parts. Even some more liberal scholars would go so as far to say as, well, it must have been written by, you know, two different people. But it's one book with these two main themes. And so chapter 49 is located in the second half. The beginning of this second half, chapters 40 through 48, most commentators see as one section. And then when we get to 49, this begins a new section that lasts up until chapter 55, chapter 57, somewhere in that range. And so we get to chapter 49, this beginning of this new section in the second half of the book of Isaiah. And it says this: "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" So the first thing we see in Isaiah 49 is that God has created us for a purpose. God has created us for a purpose. God's divine design on each of our lives and on the lives of all human beings is evident. He has crafted us in such a way to living out whatever purpose he has in mind for our lives. Now, there's discussion in this servant song as to who this servant is. Commentators go back and forth on this. Is it Israel? Is it Isaiah? Is it Jesus? Is it a messianic reference? Or is it a personification of a righteous remnant or the people of God? Or is it a combination of all of those? And so the commentators will go back and forth on this. And regardless of who you take the servant to be, there are principles in this passage that we can see and that apply to our lives as well. So with that in mind, let's take a look at it. And we see that, first of all, verse 1 alludes to the fact that this calling and crafting of the servant is even before birth. Notice in verse 1, "The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name." Now this morning, as we mentioned, is Sanctity of Life Sunday. God's word demonstrates even here how his design on our lives is even from before birth. And just as God has designed his servant in this passage, so also God designs each of our lives and every human life even before we are born. And then it mentions as well that God named the servant's name. He named my name. Now, naming in the Bible is also a significant thing. If you name something, that means you have dominion or authority over it. Think back even to Genesis 1 and 2. God named Adam. Adam named all the creatures. Naming signifies authority and dominion. And so here, God names his servant. God has authority over his servant. God is the one who is crafting and molding his servant for a specific purpose. And along with this, God's purposes may not always fit our timeline or look the way we think they should look. Take a look at verse 2. "He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away." Again, here we see God's craftsmanship and his design. But notice, God isn't using his servant yet. Like a finely tuned weapon, he's saving his servant for just the right time. And that appointed time hasn't come yet, may not have come yet. God has crafted his servant perfectly for his purpose, but he's waiting to use him in such a way that will perfectly accomplish his will. And then look at verse 3. It says, "And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" The ultimate purpose is that God will be glorified through his servant. God has uniquely designed his servant in such a way that his purposes and his glory will be accomplished through him exactly as God has determined. And what God's word says about his servant here in Isaiah 49 is also true of us in many ways and of what he has done and is doing in our lives. He has designed and has crafted us even from birth. God has a unique purpose for each of our lives that will ultimately bring about his glory. And we see examples of this throughout Scripture. You heard Dan just a moment ago read the passage from John chapter 1, where it talks about John the Baptist. And it says there, John says, "I myself did not know him," Jesus, "but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." God has called John the Baptist for a purpose. And God has called each of us for a purpose as well. The question is, do we recognize it? Do we recognize God's purpose on our lives? He has crafted and shaped us in a certain way to accomplish this purpose. Do we acknowledge that? Or does our mind start to think, God, I looked in the mirror this morning. I think you done messed up here. Have you seen me lately? Surely you made a mistake when you made me this way. If you had given me the athleticism like LeBron James, or a smile like Brad Pitt, or a voice like Garth Brooks, then maybe we could have done something. Understand, God has designed you and has created you for a purpose. And so we've seen that God has created us for a purpose, and yet there are times when we often fail to live up to what he has called us to do. We're human. We sin. We fall short. We make mistakes. We struggle. And as we do this, as we look at God's ideal and at where we're at, it's easy to become discouraged and to have those feelings of futility. And that's what happens to the servant in this passage. Look at verse 4. The servant says, "But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." It's easy to have these feelings of futility in our lives. To ask the question, is what I'm doing even making a difference? Things don't look the way I thought they were going to look. It doesn't feel like I'm making any progress here. Is it even worth it? And as I was thinking about this, I thought about the classic story of the man and the starfish. Maybe some of you have heard this one before. The story goes that there was a man who lived by the sea. And one evening, the tide rolled in and washed up thousands upon thousands of starfish upon the seashore. And so early in the morning, the man went out, began to pick up the starfish, and one by one, throw them back into the water. And he did this for a while, and as he was doing this, another person came up to him and said, "What are you doing? Do you see this whole shoreline? It's covered with starfish. What kind of a difference do you think you're making?" The man said, "Well, you're probably right. I won't be able to save all of them." But then he picked up a starfish and threw it into the water and said, "But I made a difference for that one." It's easy for us, even in church, even in ministry, to feel like this. When we look into the field, white unto harvest, and it's such an opportunity, and yet it can feel even so overwhelming, like an impossible task. And it is impossible apart from the Spirit's work. And we long to see these tangible, objective results that we crave. And when they're not there, we can get discouraged. But we must never lose sight of what God is doing, even if for a time it's more behind the scenes. Now, some of you have heard my testimony. I've shared it with several of you, but I know there's probably several in here who haven't heard it. I want to share just a portion of it today that relates to what we're talking about here. So I grew up in church, A Christian church, heard the gospel a number of times, and so I believed in God, I believed in Jesus. I could spout off a lot of facts, but I didn't really have a personal relationship, that I would say. And as a freshman in high school, a friend invited me to youth group, and so I went along and had a great time there. And at the end of youth group, the gospel was presented, and I don't know exactly what extent my belief was beforehand, but I can say for a fact that night I put my trust in Christ, and it's never been the same since. And so it was a wonderful, life-changing moment for me. Now, here's the part that I don't often tell people. Now, I don't use this as a positive example, but it was at one of those churches where, well-intentioned, they wanted to make sure they could follow up, and so, they gave the gospel presentation. They said, okay, everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes, and, would you raise your hand if you accepted Christ, if you trusted in Christ this night? Well, I was, I kind of led my friend to believe, I already kind of knew about this Jesus thing, and, I was kind of shy and timid anyway. I was a little embarrassed. And so, I didn't say anything. I don't, didn't really want to get involved that way. And it was, I would say, probably over a year until I actually told somebody what happened that night. Now, in the meantime, God continued to work in my life and began to change me and transform me. But this is something I didn't share with people. I was, too nervous, too embarrassed, too timid. The reason I mention this, again, I don't say this as a positive example. I'd encourage you, if you have put your trust in Christ, reach out to people. Let us pray for you. Let us come alongside you. But the reason I say this is there's sometimes where God is doing something in someone's heart that we have may have no idea about. And I think especially, if with youth group or with young adults or with children's ministry or even here on Sunday morning services, even if we may have no idea what God is doing on the inside of a person. And so even though we may not always have these tangible results, hopefully we see those over time, right? But even when they're not there, we can trust that God is still at work. And by the way, on this Sanctity of Life Sunday, as we look at what is going on regarding topics like abortion, adoption, care for those who are suffering or marginalized, it's easy to look at some of those statistics and become discouraged as well, because we see that there's still lots of work to do. But in the midst of this, we must also recognize the positive things that God is already doing through his people. There is much to celebrate, and we are called to be faithful in continuing this work as well. So we've seen that God has created us for a purpose that we often fail to live up to, but guess what? He provides his sustaining strength to carry out his purposes. He provides his sustaining strength. After acknowledging his feelings of failure and futility, the servant changes his tone, and look at the end of verse 4. The servant says, "Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." The servant acknowledges that God will help him to accomplish God's purpose. And then God speaks, verse 5. "And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb," again, there's God's crafting and design, "to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." We see that God provides strength to his servant here. And continuing on, God says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So we see in the midst of the servant's frailty and seeming failure, God was in fact expanding his influence to reach even beyond what the servant anticipated. And it may be that God may do that in our lives as well. You see, God can take our failures and our feelings of futility and can turn them into fruitfulness. Now, there is great hope in this, but let's be clear, too. This isn't meant as a prosperity message this morning. Being faithful doesn't always mean we're going to like it or that it's always going to look like we think it should. We see this in the example of Jesus himself. For Jesus, faithfulness to his Father meant betrayal. It meant suffering. It meant death. And yet, aren't we all thankful that God the Father had that purpose in mind for Jesus? Our job isn't necessarily to feel warm and fuzzy all the time as we're serving the Lord. Our job is to be faithful. And for that, God provides his sustaining strength. Now, another person that I thought of, another example that I thought of as I was preparing this sermon this morning, was a great inventor, Thomas Edison. And there are different estimates out there, but some would estimate it took him as many as 10,000 times to invent the light bulb. And when he was asked about it, Edison replied, "I have not failed. I have found 10,000 ways that don't work." And I hope that today the light bulb goes off for some of you, that you recognize that God has made you for a purpose. And yes, we fail. We fall short sometimes. It's not always the perfect outworking of what we hope it should be. But God provides us the strength to carry out and accomplish the purposes he has for us. And so the natural application from all of this is live out God's purpose for your life. Live out God's purpose for your life, relying on his sustaining strength. Now, we might not always know what exactly that looks like. Heather and I joke sometimes, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we turned to the back of the Bible and there was an appendix there that said, okay, Joel, on such and such a day, I want you to go here and talk to this person and share the gospel with this person, you know, have it all lined out. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be helpful? And at the same time, we also joke, well, you know, if we saw some of the things that were in there, we might want to pull a Jonah and run the other way. I'll have 6 tickets to Tarshish, please. We might not always know exactly what God's will for our lives, what his purpose is. But there are some things that we do know for a fact from his word that he's given to us. Now, there are several things I could give when it comes to application today that are mentioned in God's word. I want to highlight 2 of them, and then I'll leave it to you as you continue to read and study his word to find out more and more, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, his purposes for our lives. But let me highlight 2 things today. First of all, today, as we mentioned, is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And one of those things we remember on Sanctity of Life Sunday is to speak up for those who don't have a voice. I think of passages like Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. God calls us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And by the way, we often emphasize abortion, and obviously that's very important. But this extends to all who are marginalized and are suffering and set aside. And what we're doing today with the Thrive bottles, with this emphasis on Sunday morning, is not to be just a once-a-year, check-the-box, one-time thing, but is something we're called to do day by day, moment by moment. We are to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. So that's one piece of God's purpose for our lives. But along with this, as we're speaking up for others, as we're defending them, the best thing we can speak is the gospel. We've seen in this passage that the servant was called to be a light to the nations and to the end of the earth. And likewise, we have been called to make disciples of all nations. And so while we're speaking up for others' rights, let's not forget to share the gospel as well. I once had a pastor who had often asked the question, why do you think it is that God left you here on this earth? I mean, it could be that when somebody puts their trust in Christ, somebody gets saved, whoop, up you go. So why do you think it is that God has left you here on this earth? It's because he has a purpose for us. And a part of that purpose is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. And by the way, the gospel, just to be clear, the gospel is not that we're to be pro-life. The gospel is not that we're a card-carrying Republican. The gospel is that while we were sinners and didn't stand a chance, God sent his son Jesus to die in our place, to take our punishment upon himself, and to rise again. And now he lives and is ready to give forgiveness and eternal life to anyone who would put their trust in him. That's the gospel. And so we have a message to proclaim. If you're here this morning and you haven't put your trust in Christ, let me just encourage you. Let today be that day. Let today be the day when you would say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he rose again. And I believe that because of that, that I can have forgiveness and eternal life in heaven with him forever." If you're here this morning and that's you, let me encourage you, don't do what I did when I was a freshman in high school. Don't just sit in the back. Would you tell somebody? Let me know. Let one of the pastors or elders know. Talk with somebody next to you. We would love to come alongside you and pray with you and show you from God's word, if you have any questions, how you can put your trust in Christ today. And for those of us who have done that, we've got a message to proclaim. One of the big purposes that God has for our lives is to share his good news, to make disciples of all nations. So let's do that well. So we've seen today that God has created us for a purpose that we often fail to live up to, but for which he provides his sustaining strength to carry it out. So when we feel like failures, when we feel like our work is futile, remember, as it's been said before, God has a plan and purpose for your life. We're called to be faithful to God and the purposes he has outlined in his word. And a part of that includes speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves and sharing the life-changing message of the gospel of Christ. Now, at the beginning of today's sermon, I mentioned someone who had failed miserably in seemingly every aspect of his life: school, military, business, politics. And yet he went on to do some very amazing and important things with his life. Any guesses as to who that was? I think I heard it. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. You see, God is in the business of redemption. He can take our failures, those feelings of futility, and turn them around and use them for his glory to accomplish his purpose. God has called us for a purpose. It's not always going to be easy, but he gives us the strength to live it out by his Spirit's power. May we be found faithful in living out the purposes that God has called us to. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for the grace you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the gospel. What a wonderful, true, life-changing message we have to share by your Spirit's power. And Father, thank you that you have made us with a purpose. We're sorry for our sins and for our failures. We're sorry for the times we mess up. Would you forgive us for Jesus' sake and restore us and strengthen us by your Spirit's power to carry out the work you have called us to do? Help us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Help us to share the gospel with boldness. And may you and you alone get all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.